All right, let it roll.
This is Vivian Orgel, and I'm here in New York City with a living legend and pioneer of radio and TV shows, Mr. Joe Franklin. Thank you for joining me, Joe.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, my pleasure. My pleasure, Vivian.
I've been a TV fan of yours for over 30 years, and I've been on a lot of your shows. But I'm still finding out new things that amaze me. Everyone knows that you've had the longest-running nationally syndicated TV show of 43 years, over 500,000 guests, rising stars, seasoned stars, and personalities. But I didn't know that you interviewed 5 presidents. How did you line that up?
That's amazing. You know, I do read in magazines about people who never did a talk show. I read recently where Cary Grant never did a talk show. It said where John Wayne never... the ones who never did a talk show, I had Cary Grant. I had John Wayne. I didn't call the paper and ask for a retraction. I just absorbed it. But I did have... The only one I didn't have was Greta Garbo. Greta Garbo wouldn't... We were friends. We'd meet in the street. We'd go to film retrospectives together, and she knew I existed. She took me to a health food store one day for lunch, but she wouldn't go on any... She was offered a signed check if she'd make an appearance in a movie or a TV show. She wouldn't go anywhere, but that's my one regret. She wouldn't come on my show, but I had Richard Nixon, I had Gerald Ford, I had Ronald Reagan 5 times, I had... Kennedy, I had Lyndon Johnson, I had 5 U.S. presidents, and they were all great. I think my favorite...
You didn't have one favorite, you just loved them all.
My favorite could have been Bing Crosby, because I always... I always thought of Bing, Vivian, as being what you might call mechanically reproduced. I thought of Bing on TV, on radio, on movies, on records, on film. But when he walked toward me that day, flesh and blood, I think that day I melted. I think that day I did my greatest interview. I had Frank Sinatra 4 times, but Bing, I think, was the most exciting.
Oh, how fabulous.
Really.
But I don't think people realize that you also launched Elvis Presley's career. How did you learn about him, and did he audition?
Well, no, somebody brought him to my attention. It might have been Colonel Parker. He was on my show on the same panel in the mid-50s with Ann Margaret Olson, who later on dropped the Olson. Just became Ann Margaret, and they met. In fact, they made a movie together. I think it was called It Happened in Las Vegas later on when they were both very famous. But he was picked up on my show for the Jackie Gleason summer replacement on Dumont Network, and then on the Ed Sullivan Show. It had him third. Gleason had him second, but I had him first.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
Everyone is just shocked right now to hear this.
And he was such a nice man. He called everybody madam, ma'am, and sir. He was a real gentleman. I miss Elvis Presley.
I miss him very
much.
How fabulous.
Right.
Well, of course, it was Bing Crosby, Bette Midler, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino, and we could never have enough time to list them all.
I had them all. You're right.
You did. You had them all.
Barbara Streisand was my singer for 2 years. She was followed by Bette Midler for 1 year and Eddie Fisher for about 6 months and Connie Francis for about 6 months. I had a lot of people who got famous later on.
Unbelievable. Well, was there any competition with other TV talk shows?
I don't think so. I had my niche. I was more or less... by myself, I mean, somebody told me the other day, they said, Joe, I was watching PBS the other night, and they said, I saw Johnny Carson, he says he saw Merv Griffin, he saw Mike Douglas, he saw Joey Bishop, he says, but no Joe Franklin. I said, let me tell you one thing, they're all dead. So I'm still walking and talking.
There's no one like you, that's for sure.
One of me is enough, right?
One of you is never enough, but you're the only Joe Franklin. But let's go down memory lane for a minute, and that of course, is the little sign in front of your office. And you've got the king of memories because you're sharp. You're unbelievably sharp.
I called my show Joe Franklin's Memory Lane all my life.
I know.
No, you're right. About 10 years before I went off the air, I called it Joe Franklin's Show, but it was mainly Joe Franklin's Memory Lane.
You've got that memory.
Well, I play old film clips. Billy Crystal, you know, told me that he became a comedian by watching my show. He said he used to fake being home. He used to fake being sick so he could stay home and watch my show, and I play his... old Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton's, and he said that more or less motivated him to want to be a comedian. So
that's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. Yeah, it really is, right.
Well, let me ask you about your early beginnings, because I was told that you were a record chooser or a librarian for the DJ who wrote a show called Make Believe Ballroom. How old were you?
I was about 15, 16 years old. The man's name was Martin Block. Martin Block was the all-time number one disc jockey and a programmer called the Make-Believe Ballroom on WNEW, which is now WBBR. It's 11:30 a.m. on the dial. I'm back now where I started 50 years ago.
They didn't want to let you go. That's why.
Well, I guess that's a good point. I like that. I'll buy that.
Absolutely.
He was very popular. He liked me, and he gave me a job choosing his records. And that was the beginning. Then
that's what inspired you to go into radio?
That's right. And Martin Block got me my own radio show on that very station. I was on every night for 15 minutes, a program called Vaudeville Isn't Dead. I would say, they would say, the announcer, because my voice was very young and squeaky, the announcer would say, Benjamin Franklin discovered lightning, and Joe Franklin discovered that vaudeville isn't dead.
Oh, this is the best. I can't stand it. Well, what year did you transition into that unproven technology then known as cable?
I would say about 1950. They said, Joe, the Channel 7 was just lighting up in the daytime, and TV was only on the air then from 5 o'clock at night, from 5 p.m. until sermonette. There was no daytime TV at all. So they said, Joe, we heard you on the radio, we like your voice, and if we give you an hour a day, what kind of a show would you do? I said, how about I do a show of people talking? He said, you're out of your mind. You can't do a talk show. The word is television. You got to give them vision. I said, but I want to just talk nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball. They said, you're out of your mind. You got to give them seltzer bottle. You got to give them baggy pants. Got to give them burlesque. Got to give them comedy. So I said, well, if I can't do a talk show, how about, because rock and roll is coming. I said, how about I do a show of kids dancing to records? They said, Joe, you're out of your mind. Who's going to watch kids dance to records? Who comes along? Dick Clark becomes a billionaire. But I defied them, and I think I did the first pure organic from the bones TV talk show with the couch, with the panel, and I was a pioneer in that respect, I guess.
You totally did. And I also believe that you not only selected your guests, but also prepared your questions and assisted in the TV's production. Tell us something about all the hats you wore.
Well, I wore a lot of hats. I never had a talent coordinator. I did everything myself. I did my own booking. I would feel in my mind the chemistry. I would feel in my mind who'd go well together on what panel. I would have what they called an eclectic mix. I would have Ronald Reagan with the dancing dentist. I have Margaret Mead with the man who whistles through his nose. And I was an originator in many, many. Whenever you see David Letterman with stupid pet tricks and things, I did all these things first, you know. So
I'm just in shock. I'm almost speechless.
I am too.
It's just unbelievable. Well, what were some of the challenges that you faced that were difficult but you overcame?
Well, I was told if I beef up the show and eliminate much of that New York flavor, that I'd be more syndicatable on a coast-to-coast basis. But I didn't want to change my format. I kept it the way it was. And I was seen on the cable. I was the first local talk show to be seen on TV cable. I was seen all over the world, even though I was basically New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. I was getting mail every day. It was called Eastern Microwave Cable. I was getting mail from Puerto Rico, from Alaska, from all over the country, and I always said the main ingredient for success and longevity in my field, the field where the mortality rate is so staggering, I said the main ingredient is sincerity. And once you learn to fake that, then you got it made. I always said that, you know.
Well, you've received so many awards and keynote speaker invitations. Tell me, who writes all your acceptance speeches?
Well, I do it myself, and I never really rehearse what I'm going to say. I just go on the air, or I do my acceptance speech cold. I've got maybe 200 plaques in my office, keys to the city, and gold microphones, and if I melt them down, I'd be a billionaire, right?
This is wonderful.
I'll keep them, and I'm not going to quit till I get it right.
I love it, because I was going to just say to you, like, I know you're so active and that you're continually on Bloomberg Radio, and books and articles have chronicled your success. But as Frank Sinatra says, the best is yet to come.
And follow your dreams, right?
Right. And with everything that you've accomplished in show business, what do you want to do now?
Well, I would like maybe someday organize a 24-hour-a-day nostalgia radio network. Just nothing but old records with me as the host, maybe 8 hours a day, and have you on there 4 hours a day, and my good friend Steve Garrett on there 4 hours a day playing, and I think it's on the brink. We're going to make the announcement within about 6 or 8 weeks.
I love it.
I'm going to call it, I'm known as the King of Neuralgia, King of Nostalgia, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, it's not only the older crowd that loves you, everyone loves you, and I'm so glad to have had this opportunity to share these moments with you. And this is basically a tribute to your life, the impact that you've made on all the viewers and the listeners. Thank you for introducing us to talented personalities and bringing the world of entertainment into our lives.
That is beautifully spoken, Vivian. I've been a real friend and fan of yours. I know you've been on my show many, many times. I know when I list my golden dozen guests, I'll always mention your name up there because you got me big reactions. And I used to always ask my guests for something inspirational, some little maxim, something to motivate the audience, and I remember one time somebody said, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. You're a nice lady, and I'm proud of you.
Can I give you a kiss?
And here's to our wives and sweethearts, may they never meet, right? I'm only kidding.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Please invite me back on your show.
Thank you so much.